welcome back to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast, where we sit down each month to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. This is episode number 6. My name is Ben Waite, and I'm joined, as always, by our fearless leader, Mr. Gene Smith. In this episode, we will begin a recurring segment where we try and highlight some of the work of our excellent staff. But before we get started, Gene, how are you today? Welcome back.
Doing great, Ben. Appreciate you doing this. Doing extremely well.
Glad to hear that. Tell us a little bit about what's going on at OSU right now and how our winter sports are doing.
Yeah, really proud of our winter sports. They're doing an exceptional job. And obviously, men's and women's basketball are currently playing, and men are off to a great start. And our women are growing. We got 7 freshmen on that team, and so they're learning to play together and learning to play at this level. And really excited, obviously, about what Ryan has done with our football program and our opportunity that we're faced with now. And just really proud of them, proud of the guys who graduated. And we had 57 student athletes graduate this past weekend and across all sports. And just things have gone well. Our winter sports are kicking off. Men's and women's ice hockey are just doing exceptionally well, both ranked in the top 10. And kind of anxious for January to start. You know, we've got gymnastics, swimming, and men's volleyball and wrestling and all those that really pick up in January, February, and March. Wrestling's got off to a great spot. They're number 3 in the country right now. And so things are going exceptionally well. Coaches are just phenomenal.
It's definitely an exciting time, and it's always good when we can pass out a couple more diplomas.
Yeah, no question about it. And that was fun to watch them in at the reception we had for them on Sunday morning, and then to see them walk, because that's the pinnacle. Mm-hmm. You know, that they get their paper, and some, you know, it was easier for some than others.
Right.
And, you know, you have a couple that you're really proud of because you know what they had to do mm-hmm. in order to get it done. And so it was really a special moment to see them all. And we had 4 degree completion student athletes in there. Sammy Perhalis came back and finished hers off, which was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Obviously, Mike Daw. So we had a number of student athletes who did well.
Absolutely. I can say personally those 2 pieces of paper from Ohio State are the most expensive but also most cherished piece of paper I have.
That's right.
So like I said, today we're highlighting some of the excellent work of one of our current employees, and we're fortunate enough to be joined by the leader of our football program, head coach Ryan Day. But before we get started, Gene, tell me a little bit about your process overseeing head coaches. Obviously, we have 36 sports, but how do you manage all those relationships with the head coaches?
Well, yeah, years ago, you know, I've always built a philosophy that our head coaches are basically our leaders in the department. And so we need to make sure that we hire the right ones with our values and know that we can trust them and they can trust us. And so you build a program based upon your values. And so this is the best group of coaches I've ever worked with across the board. And they're so ingrained into what we're all about. What we try and do is make sure there's an administrator assigned for every single sport. I have football and men's basketball, but I have my deputy athletic directors who serve as day-to-day liaisons to those sports. But then we split up every sport. So I have a T.J. Shelton, who's a sport administrator, has 8 sports. Janine Ullman has 9, so we just split them all up. But we meet once a week as sport administrators to go through all the issues that our sports are dealing with. We'll sometimes go through rosters, go through all the big issues. So we really make sure we have a good communication among the 6 sport administrators on a weekly basis to make sure we're helping one another. And just being there for our coaches. You know, make sure they have what they need, provide them advice when they need it, and just support them.
That's fantastic. And as I said, our guest today needs a little introduction for our Buckeye Nation fans. But our guest today is a native son of New Hampshire, has been on the OSU staff since 2017, and is in his first year as the head coach of the Ohio State football program. Ryan, thanks for being here today.
Great being here.
Really appreciate your time. And as we're recording, your team is prepping for the college football playoff. Could you give our listeners an idea of what this time of year looks like for you guys?
Yeah, it's the craziest time I've ever been a part of, because we get done with the championship game, and then what happens is we lost a week of recruiting because you have 2 weeks in December. So we lost that week preparing for Wisconsin. And so, you know, we have a lot of mid-years, you know, possibly 15 coming in, which is an all-time high, which is great because they get into the program early and get to go through spring ball and get indoctrinated into Coach Mick's off-season program and spring ball early on, which allows them to play earlier, which is great because a lot of our guys play early. But the stress of it was, you know, we recruit nationally, and so there were guys from all over the country, and we had to get out there and do that in a short period of time along with the awards that went on. You know, they had Chase winning the Nagurski. I was down at that. New York City, Jordan Fuller was up for the Campbell Award. He was a finalist there. Certainly the Heisman, and then the awards, you know, show down, the Home Depot show down in Atlanta. So you mix those all in, it was a crazy week. And then we get back here. We had a recruiting weekend prepared on Sunday for the week, which was the game planning. And then now, you know, we're under our game planning week. And so what we'll do is we want to game plan like a normal week. And then once we get out to Arizona, kind of go back through the game plan and prepare for the game on the 28th.
And understanding that you guys are still in, you know, season mode, your game prep and all of that stuff, but you're through your first regular season here at Ohio State. And were there aspects of being a head coach that you hadn't anticipated that you had to deal with during this first regular season?
Yeah. I mean, it was something where, you know, when you go into a situation like this, you plan your entire life for it. You know, you watch some of the best you've been around and had an opportunity to be around some great head coaches. And then obviously with Gene's leadership, you know, be able to get behind him and just talk on a weekly basis about what the expectations were, what to expect during the season. And with his guidance and you know, encouragement and confidence week in and week out, it allowed us to have a great season. But really went down to the guys on the team, the guys that we've recruited, the leaders. But really the staff was really big. And there was a lot of time at this time last year putting together that staff and making sure it was the right group of guys, the right chemistry. And I think when you have good chemistry at the top, it really filters down to the guys. They feel that. They just see it. And I think that had a lot to do with our success.
And you mentioned that you've been preparing for a position like this your whole life and your whole working career. How did you prepare to be a head coach throughout your time coaching?
Well, it started being a quarterback. And when you're a quarterback, you look at things through a wider lens than just your position. And so you learn the game. You learn what it means to be a leader. You learn what it means to prepare. And I remember being a senior in college and spending a lot of my time in the coach's office with Chip Kelly and some of the coaches there. I didn't exactly get a great GPA that semester, but I spent a lot of time learning about football and what it meant to be a football coach, because you don't really go to school to learn to be a football coach. You learn to be a lawyer, you go to be a doctor, you go to be, you know, Wall Street, but where do you learn to be a football coach? And so what you have to do is you just have to dig in and be an apprentice. And that's what I did, and went on to Boston College, got my master's degree there, learned from some great coaches there. Tom O'Brien, Dana Bible, some of the best coaches I've ever been around, and then went down to Florida where Coach Meyer had his first staff in 2005, and you know, some great people on that staff, and so learned a lot from those guys, and that's where I met Greg Madison, and then went on there and was able to be around some great coaches. Steve Adazio, who was on that staff, you know, for the first couple years at Boston College when I was there, he allowed me to go hand-in-hand every single meeting. When I say every meeting, he took me through every meeting, whether it was with administrators, whether it was with recruits' families, whether it was a tough meeting with a family member on the team, whatever that was, he literally, I held his hand and just walked around and learned what it meant to be a head coach. Good things, bad things. When we were hiring and interviewing, I was right there with him, and I just learned. And then I did the same thing when I went with Chip Kelly into the NFL, and he allowed me to be right there with him. And then when I came here, I just grabbed on to Coach Meyer. And I mean, I'd be in all their press conferences, just learning and just taking notes for when that moment happened, this is how I'd respond. And then when the time came, you know, I felt like I was ready.
It's obviously invaluable experience. Was there anything that you learned along the way that you kind of had to throw out once you actually got in the chair to be a head coach that you thought you knew that maybe didn't turn out to be the case?
Well, I don't know. I just think what you do is you do the best you can on a daily basis, you know, and you adjust as things go on. And a lot of times what you have to do is you have to tailor it to the people that are around you. You know, you have a plan, but sometimes you just have to scratch that plan out and you have to adjust with things on the move because, you know, things change, your team changes, you know, the guys on your staff change, the dynamics of everything change. And so I think having that flexibility is critical. And I think you have to have a plan. You have to, you know, kind of map that out. But along the way, the ability to adjust to your guys and customize it to your team is important. And I think with this generation more than ever, because they're just, you know, you can feel like you have a handle on the team one day and the next day it's completely different. You know, I've gone into a Sunday saying, all right, this is going to be my message for the team. This is exactly what we're going to say. And then on Wednesday, it was completely different. And it had to do with so many different things that went into that week. And so I think that's critically is to be, you know, to adjust, in, you know, on the move to the feeling of the team, the feeling of your staff.
Gene, you've throughout your tenure here at Ohio State had to bring in head coaches all across our 36 sports, mm-hmm. And you've obviously known Ryan for the last 3 years now. Mm-hmm. When did you know that he was ready to be a head coach here at Ohio State?
You know, we had a great opportunity to get to know one another a little bit through one of the summers and the summer prior to hiring him, actually. But really, you know, you don't have an option. Like we were fortunate to have, or unfortunate to have, depends on your seat, where he auditioned. You know, I was suspended, Urban suspended. He took charge, and I knew then, as I watched him and listened and paid attention to what was going on, that he had it. I knew that going in, but that solidified it. Usually in those situations, invariably, there's some fracture on the team. There's something that happens. It happens with personnel, with staff, or with the team itself. And because that was a stressful time, and their leader's gone, the guy that recruited them is gone. You got turmoil around them. They're listening to people at home, so you have all those things going on. They're paying attention to social media, so. You know, how does a leader make sure that they create a culture and environment where they focus on what they need to stay on track with? And he did exceptionally well. And then the pressure that people put on our head coach just publicly, he handled the media extremely well in the press conferences and all the type of things that he's handling exceptionally well now. He did then. So, obviously, I watched him and saw him perform in that situation, but I knew early on he had the traits to be the leader that he is. He has a high football IQ, there's no doubt about it, one of the highest I've ever seen, but his emotional intelligence is off the chain, and he's a relational type coach. Connects with the kids. You know, I mean, you can hear just in his comments to your previous question, today's world, you have to be fluid. You have to adjust because kids are different today. And so you have to go to where they are as opposed to making them come to you like it used to be. You have to adjust. And he's created a culture in the Woody Hayes that understands that.
And then you talked about seeing specific traits in him that you knew he would be a good leader. When more broadly speaking, when you're hiring a head coach, what mm-hmm. characteristics do you look for to ensure that you're bringing on the right person?
You know, values. I mean, he's a perfect example of that. All our coaches, you know, the values are important. First and foremost, your integrity, your honesty. You know, we all as Buckeye fans have to put our head on a pillow at night and know that. You know, our head coaches are going to take care of our kids the right way and be honest and transparent. So the values are very important to me. So he has those. And then you always have to pay attention to the technical skills. And I watched him, you know, last year as he did his offensive play calling and his demeanor on the sideline. All those things are important to me. I don't like yellows and screamers to be the leaders of our program. I mean, you can do that in the trenches. You can do that in practice situations periodically. But on game day, I want that cerebral coach, that guy that's in the game intellectually. So, you know, I there's certain things I look for, and I saw that in him, and that's in all of our coaches. Tom Ryan in wrestling, Chris in basketball, and Bill Dornkopf in swimming, all of them fit that profile. And so there's a number of different things like that, but those are the high-level things. Values are the most important, though.
Certainly. And Ryan, going into this first year as a head coach, you were in the position to build your own staff. And so when you were looking for assistant coaches or people to bring here to Columbus, what sort of characteristics do you look for when you're surrounding yourself with assistants?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing that Gene just said. The first thing is you want great guys with great values because, first off, you know, our number one job is to help these guys become better men. And you know, you want to have great husbands, you want great fathers, you want great role models. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, loyalty and guys that I trust, because this can be a tough place. And, you know, when you're in the highest level of football, you know, when things don't go well, you have to have guys that have your back. I think that was critically important for me. And that was why, you know, when we hired Al Washington and Greg Madison, you know, a lot of people said, well, you're just going up to the team up north and to create a problem. That had nothing to do with it. Those are two guys. Al Washington was at a Dunkin' Donuts when I went to Boston College, and we sat there, and I said, you want to be the running backs coach? And he said, I've never coached running backs in my life. I said, no problem. You figured this out.
Learn on the job.
He went on to coach the Doak Walker Award winner that year, and Andre Williams at Boston College, and it was all because of his loyalty, hard work, and who he was as a person, and I saw what Greg did. But then the rest of the guys on the staff, you know, really other than Mike Yurcich, he was the one guy that I didn't really know. Everybody else I knew and trusted, and I thought that was really important. And their interaction with the players is really important. Guys who bring energy to the table, great recruiters, but they also have a really good football IQ. I think it's important that guys on the team believe in who they are and what they're teaching. I think that's really important. You know, your character is one thing, your connection is something, but your competence is really good. And so I think when they believe in you and they know that they're getting better and they're getting taught at the highest level and they believe in what you're teaching, then you can do great things. And I think all of our guys are at that level.
And then what about Mike drew you to him? I know you guys, you just said you didn't have a pre-existing relationship.
Yep.
How did you know that that was somebody that you wanted to bring here?
I had met him when he was, he had just got to Oklahoma State. And Coach Gundy there hired him as a Division II school, just kind of a cold call. And so I called him and just kind of wanted to get to know who he was, because that was just a unique situation. You know, Chip Kelly did it when he went to Oregon, but it was the same type of situation. So I kind of knew him a little bit there, and then I knew some people that worked with him. Steve Adazio had him as a GA at Indiana, and some other people had worked with him that I knew. And so I respected what he did for those 7 years at Oklahoma State. I watched their film. I really liked what they did on offense. They were one of the most productive offenses, you know, in the country during that stretch. And I really was excited to have some different ideas coming to the table this year. But the best part was he was just willing to come in and learn. And so he had ideas, but he was buying into what we were doing. And that's a unique situation, because it's hard when, you know, the head coach is also, you know, coaching the offense, also helping with the quarterbacks. And so it takes a very secure guy, and that's what Mike is.
Gene, Ryan mentioned that sometimes OSU can be a tough place to come. Obviously, we're a very unique monster here at Ohio State Athletics. What do we do here at Ohio State to help new coaches get acclimated to Columbus and the university?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the great assets that we have. And you mentioned it, Columbus. You know, our institution is phenomenal, but the city is a well-kept secret, and it's a great place to live. It's a great place to raise a family, and it's the camaraderie that exists not only in our campus but in our community is strong. So we want to make sure that when that person comes, they get an opportunity to not just see our campus and our teaching environment, but to see the city, because it's so diverse. There's so many things to do here. So we try and help them transition in the right way. And we focus on, in football, we focus on the wives. And so we make sure the wives are taken care of and making sure that they get a chance to see what they need to see and transition in the right way. And I know with Ryan and Nina, I did the same thing with Chris Holtman and Lori. We hired them someone to work with the women on all the different requests that they would get, because we have a massive philanthropic community. It's beautiful that we have so many people that want to help so many people. And so these are public figures, so people come to them. And so we want to make sure that they have some expert advice on how to handle and address all those things that came at them so fast. And so we do little things like that to try and make sure that everyone's comfortable. But, you know, the biggest thing is make sure they connect with other people in the department. Football's hard because they sometimes can get isolated. And so one of the things we have to intentionally do is make sure that they get connected with other parts of the department. And that happens naturally throughout the off season, because to your point, we're very complex, but we got a lot of talent. And so we want to make sure that they get connected with the talent.
understandably, it's probably a very big transition becoming the first lady of Ohio State football. And Ryan, can you tell us a little bit what that transition, firstly, coming to Columbus, you and your family have been literally from coast to coast here in the United States. What was the transition like coming to Columbus?
You know, it was a great transition, better than we ever expected. We weren't too sure what to expect, really, when we first got here, but have fallen in love with Columbus. It's such a great city. There's so much here. You know, to raise a family, it's our favorite place by far. You know, downtown is great restaurants. There's so much culture here. There's so much, you know, young businesses coming in the area. And it's a young town because, obviously, of Ohio State. And then Buckeye Nation has just been unbelievable to our family. Just the support that we've felt has been unbelievable, from my kids and Nina to just walking around and recruiting, to being in town, to going out to restaurants. It's that support has been strong. And, and when you're a first-time head coach and you're walking in the shoes of Woody Hayes and Jim Tressel and Urban Meyer, it feels good to be welcomed that way. And then I think, you know, just the foresight of Gene and Sheila just to provide all that support for us as first-time head coach and wife was huge, and it really helped in the transition.
And knowing that you and the family were here for 2 years before you took the job as head coach, Gene alluded to some of the demands that fall on the head football coach at Ohio State and his family. How was that transition, and what sort of impact did it have on the family going from the offensive coordinator to the head coach?
Yeah, it was a big change, and we had a lot of conversations about that and what it meant. And it's a great honor, but it is different, and there's a lot of changes, and there's a lot of sacrifices, but there's so many positive things that come with it. It's tremendous, but it is risky too for the family, and we know that. But we made that decision together as a family, and I think one of the big things that's helped me along the way with all of that, again, just going back to Gene and his leadership, is some of the conversations we've had, and he would just say, just trust yourself, believe in yourself, because you're good enough, you know, and not that you don't know that, but when you hear that from somebody who's been around for so long and been around great coaches, and just, you know, when someone believes in you, it just gives you that confidence to go do it. Because again, when you walk down that hallway and you see some of the coaches and some of the teams, some of the places that have been, you know, people have come through here, you know, it's a great responsibility. And I mean, you can't talk to too many people who are Buckeye fans without hearing you better beat that team up north this year, or, you know, what do we got going on? And so I totally get it, love it, and it couldn't have gone any better this year.
Gene, we highlighted, obviously, Columbus is a growing, booming city, and it's fantastic home for our university and coaches. When we're going and looking at coaches to bring here to Ohio mm-hmm. State, how do we differentiate the school, the athletic department, and the brand of Ohio State as opposed to some of the other national brands?
Yeah, what we try and do in those situations, we get a little bit more granular because people know the brand, people know our tradition and history, but really people don't know what we do. You know, Ryan mentioned it earlier. You know, we developed, when I first came here, and Tressel had started it, and it's something I've always philosophically believed in, the Total Student Athlete Development Program, and now it's the Leadership Institute. The things that we provide our student athletes, no one else provides in the country. Ryan has now called it the Circle of Care, and he created an unbelievable chart. When you think about the number of people that we surround our student athletes with to make sure that they have the human resources to help them be the best that they can be and help them get through challenges that they face while they're here, nobody does it like we do. You know, the fact that we have sports psychologists for football and we have four overall for the entire athletic department, I mean, it's just, we are fortunate to have Buckeye Nation that allows us to do those things. The best trainers, the best strength coaches, the best academic support, and you know, we got news on one of our athletes today. We did a great job in the classroom. So you know, we would not have been able to do it without the guidance of some expertise. And so, you know, you have to, when you're doing that, when you're recruiting someone from the outside, you have to bring them in. Amy Broker, who we brought from Stanford, you know, we were amazed that we were able to recruit her from Stanford. But when she got here and began to peel back the onion and see everything that we put in place, I mean, she was just flabbergasted compared to what happens at the other institutions that she's been to. So it's really getting them, you know, under the cover, so to speak, so they can really see what we do.
Ryan, for me, I'm a lifelong Buckeye. I've worked here my whole career, namely because I'm unemployable just about anywhere else. you've had the experience of working at a number of different schools and professional institutions. For you in your role, how does OSU differ from those? And then how do you sell that to recruits and their families?
Well, yeah, going on what Gene said, first off, the people to me separate this place more than anything, because there's just a loyalty here. There is a sense of community here that is unlike any other place I've been. And it's a pride in the school. And you can just feel it when you walk around Columbus, when you walk around campus. And they're all pulling for you. You know, there's no other show in town. It's all about the Buckeyes. And I think that community feel is special. Certainly, the amount of resources that have been put in and poured into this program over the years has been unbelievable. And so when you walk into this program, you are, although we can't pay student athletes, but what they're getting provided in terms of services, whether it's academically, mental, medically, I mean, you're talking about some of the best medical situations in the entire country. You're talking about recovery with cryogenic tanks and our strength and conditioning. And then, again, the amount of resource we put in our staff, whether it's just recruiting, whether it's our coaches, the strength and conditioning. I mean, all of those things. When you put it all together, it's something that Gene just mentioned. We call it the circle of care. And the student-athlete's right in the middle. It just blows people away. And, again, that just goes to show you how important it is that the student-athlete is at a place like Ohio State. And so I think when you combine the two of those, it makes it the best in the country.
And you're in a position now where you now oversee every position that you previously held in your career, whether it's a GA, a position coach, a coordinator. And so how do you take the experiences that you learned in those roles and apply them when you're coaching your coaches?
Yeah, the biggest thing to me is, you hire them to do a job, and you have to trust them to do their job, and you have to give them the room and the confidence to do their job. And, you have to give them constant feedback. You have to, periodically go through and give them some idea of where they can do things better, where they're doing things well. But I really believe in empowering them to do their job and giving them the accountability to do so. And then rewarding them when they do a good job. And I think that's what I always liked, again, if they're coming up short, then you have to address it. But for the most part, when they're doing things well, you encourage them and just try to enhance it.
And you're currently, as we said, in the process of preparing for the college football playoff, and we know you're trying to bookend season one with a national championship. But what are you going to take from year one as a head coach into year two to try and improve personally and professionally?
Well, I just think you're going to take a look at all the areas and just look to enhance those areas like we talked about. And there's so many of those things we can do. Talking about staff and how we can improve different things on in all three phases, how we can improve things in recruiting, how we can clean things up. In the off season, do a great job of looking at what we did well and how we can improve on that. What Coach Mick does in the off season is huge for what we do. But then again, it really goes back to these guys, because you go on this journey, you think it's going to go a certain way, and it doesn't. You have to adapt to the guys on the team. And so a bunch of guys are going to be leaving our program here in a couple weeks, or in the next month for sure. And, we have to make sure that we now adapt to those new leaders, and we have to go through and we have to spend some time teaching those guys what it means to be leaders. Because this year, our leaders really stepped up. And they weren't leaders last year. No, not all of them. Some of them were. But they really stepped up. And there's a lot that goes into how you get that chemistry going. And one of the big things that I believe with that is when guys like coming into the Woody, when guys like coming into the building, then they want to stay in the building. They're not punching the clock. They're not coming in just for practice and leaving. They're staying. They're hanging around. They're in there early. And when they do that, they're hanging around in the locker room. They're playing games. They're getting to know each other. And so when you build that brotherhood in that locker room, it just builds, better stuff on the field. And so the more we can build of that, the better off we're going to be.
It's fantastic, Ryan. I really appreciate your time today, and I know all of our listeners appreciate a peek behind the curtain that is Ohio State football. And Gene, always, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it.
And that does it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast. Thank you for joining us once again. We really appreciate everyone who has listened and subscribed thus far. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe and leave a review wherever you find your favorite podcasts. We'll be back with new episodes released the first Monday of each month. Next month, we'll be discussing the business of college athletics and how we manage the resources necessary to run Ohio State's athletics department. For Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I'm Ben Waite. Thank you, and go Bucks!